If you're listening to this while waiting to see if you're finished vomiting, perhaps you've got a stomach bug of some kind and you're sitting on the toilet, perhaps with the lid down, perhaps you're sitting on the toilet but using it as a seat, as a normal seat rather than as a toilet seat. You've got the lid closed down on top of the seat. You're sitting on top of the outer lid of the toilet. You've got a sink close enough at hand for you to vomit into. For some reason, you're confident that your sink can handle that. You're one of these privileged people who has an excellent plumbing system in your house. You're confident you can vomit directly into the sink and it'll have no dire consequences whatsoever. Or maybe you've got a sieve. You've brought in a sieve from the kitchen and you've put that in the sink so you can vomit in comfort from your perch on the closed toilet seat. He had a moment before he went into the toilet. He had a moment to collect your thoughts and gather a sieve, a restrainer from the kitchen press. So apparently your vomiting wasn't that urgent. But you've been vomiting now for a while. You've been in the toilet for a while. You've got the sieve ready in the sink that you're not going to wash and reuse in the kitchen, because that's a bit gross. Although, is it? Is vomit? It's just food. It's just food. It's just food that's been through some chemical processes and come out the wrong way. If we were going to put used digested food into a strainer that's going to be used again in the kitchen, I'd much rather it came out of your mouth than out of your posterior or frontier waste outlet. So I suppose there's that. Well, still, no, I think if I was going to use a strainer, I think I would take it out of kitchen usage then. Maybe find some use for it out in the garden or something, put it in the shed. Take it out of rotation, out of the kitchen. I could do that quite easily because we have at least two plastic strainers and a colander and a kind of net metal-y strainer. So it'd be no problem. I'd use one of the plasticky ones because they're cheap and cheerful and they're big. They're big bowl shaped strainers with a long handle on it. I've got at least two of those. So if I was going to do that, but I don't think I've ever had a situation where I was going to vomit, but I had time to gather my thoughts and go into the kitchen and open the corner press and dig around for this strainer. No. And if I did, I'd probably grab the first one I found, which could well end up being the more expensive colander type thing. In fact, no, I wouldn't use that. Is it called a colander? I'm not sure, but there's a thing that you use to strain vegetables in, and it's kind of got metal overlapping leaves that kind of open out. You put your vegetables in there, you put it on top of something that will catch the water, or leave the vegetables to gently drain out of this thing through the holes in these flaps. And that's not very secure for vomit, because it kind of opens up with gravity. The petals on the strainer widen and open out. Well, would just collapse under the weight. And no, that wouldn't be. So no, I wouldn't want that. So I'd want a minute or two to root in the... So I'd want advanced warning that I'm going to vomit, I suppose, is what I'm saying. So I'd probably have vomited already, and I'd be preparing in case there's another session of vomiting to come. And then maybe I'd have time to root around for it. So you're sitting in your toilet, you're waiting to see if you're finished vomiting. You're listening to podcasts, perhaps hoping to induce a further session of vomiting, are you? That's never occurred to me, but now that I realise that, the first 4 minutes of this segment may well have helped with that. Have I helped you induce vomiting further? Am I the audio equivalent of shoving two fingers down your throat, perhaps? Well, don't do that. I don't want to be used in that way. Perhaps look in the mirror. Look in there. You have a mirror in there, almost certainly. If you're in a bathroom, you have a mirror. Have a look in the mirror and ask your reflection what it thinks for you. Because you care very much about what your reflection thinks. So ask your reflection, what do you think of me? Do I look well? Look at your reflection and see what it says. See what it looks like. Does it look well? Does it look like it's going to vomit? That's what you do. Look at your reflection. See, does it look like it's about to vomit more? But imagine you're a taxi driver. You're driving along the street. You see these people trying to hail a taxi and you're going to pick them up or pretend you don't see them. So you have a look at their faces and see that they look like they're going to vomit at any time in the next 20 minutes. As if they are, I don't want them in my cab. That's what you think. So do the same with you. Look at yourself in the mirror. I think, does he look like he's going to vomit anytime soon? And if the answer is no, then you're ready to wash your hands, pick up your colander, go and throw that in the bin or throw it in the shed. Don't bring it back into your kitchen, whatever you do. The used colander that he puked into. No, don't do that. That's rough. If you're listening to this while folding laundry, perhaps you've just come in from your laundry place. You've got a laundry place in the shed in your back garden. You've got a washing machine and a dryer there, and you've removed stuff from the dryer and you've brought it into the house and you decided, I'm going to fold this. It's the most efficient way to store clothing is to fold it. I'm going to fold it like an origami project. I'm going to get the t-shirts and fold them. What way do you fold t-shirts? Well, obviously you fold them with the collar part facing up and out because you're folding it for a display for some reason. Don't do that. You don't need to fold your laundry. That's nonsense. You're going to have to go to the trouble of unfolding it when you're getting ready to wear it. No, don't fold it. It was something that needs to be hung up. Hang it up. Hang that up. That's fine. But there's no reason to be folding t-shirts or trousers or socks or underwear or vests or I don't know what else do people wear. That's about all I wear. I think I wear a t-shirt. I wear pajama bottoms or a lounge gear. I don't know if you young people wear lounge gear. I wear lounge gear around the house. It's basically pajama bottoms that's designed to look like something you'd wear while you're up, but not out. They look far less pajama-y than the traditional pajamas, basically jogging pants of a kind, but more civilized than that. It's a light indoor pajama bottom trouser. You wear that with a t-shirt, unless you're leaving the house, I suppose. I don't need to leave the house, and when I do, I'm not going to anything formal. I don't need to put on a suit and tie and blazer. What's the purpose of a three-piece suit? You look fucking ridiculous. If you're wearing a three-piece suit to your job, why? You've got a shirt underneath that that nobody can see. You've got this vest thing that matches your suit. Looks like it could be the lining of your suit broken free or something. You wear that on top of your shirt so nobody can see your shirt. You wear this tie at least 15 inches long, but you only expose the top 3 inches of it, like it's an iceberg or something. You're wearing an iceberg necktie. So you put it around your neck. It's a big long thing flopping down, but that's underneath your vest or something. Nobody can see that. That's ridiculous. That's a waste of material. Get a tie that's much shorter, if that's the case. Or get a bow. Bows make sense. Don't be wearing a shirt either. Wear one of those pin-on bows and the pin-on stiff shirt thing. Put that on top of your t-shirt if needed. And then, by all means, put a suit on top of that just so you don't get kicked out of whatever formal thing you're going to. Button-up formal shirts make no sense whatsoever. You're covering up the whole thing. And even if you're not wearing a jacket or a suit vest over that, your shirt is half covered by this tie. What's the purpose of the tie? Is it to cover all the buttons all the way down? That's nonsense. No. And what are you wearing socks for? Well, it's supposed to cover your feet and protect your shoes and protect your shoes from your feet and protect your feet from your shoes. I suppose that's reasonable. But what are you wearing anything else under that suit for? You spent half your weekend ironing that shirt that nobody can see because it's underneath 3 layers of suit. No. I suppose the idea is you get to the office and then you take off your overcoat and you take off your jacket and you take off your formal suit vest, whatever you call it. But notice you don't take off your trousers. People in suits, I've seen them. I don't have much exposure to people in suits nowadays, but I see them on the television. You'll see some talk show host come on. Every time he stands up, he unbuttons his suit jacket, and every time he sits down, he buttons it up again. What in the name of Christ kind of design for a garment is that? If your suit jacket needs to be buttoned up and buttoned down every time you unfold your legs, you unbutton it for comfort or something. Is that it? I don't know. Or do you button it up for comfort? I can never remember which. So you do your monologue with the jacket buttoned up, then you go and sit down at some desk and read the top 10 list and introduce some pop star, and you have to unbutton it. Let the flaps of your jacket hang down over your thighs or something. What purpose does that serve? You're not in an office. You're not a solicitor. You're not appearing in court trying to defend someone who's about to be sent to the electric chair. No, you're on the television telling jokes. Same goes for game show hosts. Same goes for sports news readers. There's no reason for you to be dressing formally like that. Sport is a fun thing. Game shows are a fun thing. You come on a game show in a suit and tie like you're introducing a funeral or something. Like the master of ceremonies at the crematorium, and there's 100 people there to watch someone's coffin being lowered into the flames. No, I suppose who wants to be a millionaire? That would be the exception. Because you're responsible for millions and millions of euros being given away or not. That's the one game show where I would tolerate proper business wear, suit and tie, because you are in the position of quite some responsibility. You have to carry out the rules of this game very seriously, and it's right to have a formal atmosphere then. But that's ruined, of course, by the fact that you have this audience in front of you cheering and laughing and clapping every 5 seconds. If you're reading the news, I suppose, that's quite serious as well. A traditional news bulletin, you're sitting at a desk and nobody sees you from the waist down, so it doesn't matter what you wear under your desk. You can wear loungewear there, certainly. Unless you're afraid your staff and crew will not respect you if you don't wear a full suit from ankle to neck. Well, that's ridiculous. Tell your staff not to be so shallow. Tell them to judge your seriousness by your actions and not what you look like. Or at least tell them to judge you by what you look like on camera, which would be everything from the waist up. Make sure your tie is straight, because people will think, oh Christ, that fellow's tie is not straight. We can't just anything he says, anything he reads off that auto cue. He could be misreading it. Do we even know if he could read? He probably can't, because he's talking. If he was as literate as he likes to make out, he'd be working for a newspaper and writing the news down instead of just saying it into a camera like some teenager. They go on TikTok and they start saying stuff to say, hello, I just wanted to turn on the camera here and talk to you because I'm not able to write a weblog. In the old days, you'd write a weblog. You get out your WordPress and you start typing. Here's some words. I'm not going to add the picture because this isn't a children's book. This is an adult weblog. So you're there folding your laundry or unfolding it. Skip the part where you fold it. A wrinkled t-shirt should not offend anyone. You're going to go, oh no, that fella is wearing a casual t-shirt that isn't ironed properly. How dare he go around with a crease in his t-shirt? He's wearing his informal t-shirt. Very informally. No, it's meant to be an informal wear. It's okay. It's fine. Relax. Take a chill pill. You only have 70 or 80 or 90 years on this planet. Don't spend 1 minute of worrying what people think your fucking t-shirt looks like. That's nonsense. Maybe you think you're doing it for you. You think, I want to look my best. Every time I pass a mirror, I want to be able to look into the mirror and say, oh, look, that's me. I look great. I'm at my best. I look absolutely fantastic. And my reflection thinks the same of me. You admire your reflection. You're admiring your reflection because you want your reflection to admire you. You want your reflection to speak from the mirror and say, oh, you look great. But the only way you can achieve that is by saying that yourself. You might as well be using a glove puppet and holding it up to a window, looking in through the window at you and have the glove puppet say you look great if you're going to do that. Do people even use glove puppets nowadays? I don't know. I remember in play school, I was 4 or 5 years of age. He came out one day and said, everyone bring in a sweeping brush handle. Just the handle part, not the brush or the broom or the mop that goes on the end of it. Just the brush handle. And then they gave us all a big sock. And we stuffed the sock with all sorts of shit, I presume. I can't remember the exact details, but we must have stuffed the sock to make it form the horse's head. This is the second episode in the row where I'm talking about the shape of a horse's head, but it's in a different context, so I suppose that's okay. So they stuffed the sock so it becomes the shape of a horse's head, which is quite the natural shape for the sock, because the socks are L-shaped. It's just you have to have something inside it so they can form that shape. So they stuff the sock and then they sew up the ends and they put it over this mop handle, and then you decorate the horse's head sock with eyes and a nose, maybe an ears. You have great fun running around the whole thing with this horse until about 12 noon. Because this is pay school. You go home very, 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 very early. Very early. In fact, I remember the first 2 days of pay school. I think they went home almost immediately because I started bawling, crying almost immediately. Oh, Christ, I'm being abandoned in this hellhole. This hellhole hall. I'm going to spend the next 15 years of my life in this place. It's like a prison, except you get to go home at night. It takes so long to make this horse's head. If you have it done by 11:30, you get half an hour playing with the horse's head, and then your parents come and pick you up. And you just abandon the horse's head, and then I can't remember if you get to bring them over with us. Maybe they dismantle the horse's head after a day or two so they could send home the broom handled. Because not every parent can afford to just sacrifice a good, decent mop handle or broom handle just for some kid to be gallivanting around the PE hall during play school. No. And maybe they did keep it. This was a ruse for the play school to get some new cleaning equipment. I suppose there's that. But you have a mop handle from every kid, a group of 15, 20 children. You're not going to need or want 20 broom handles. That's at least 10 years supply of mop handles. And you still have to get the mops and brushes, remember. Because the mop handle is the part that doesn't break. It's the brush itself and the mop itself. Those are the parts that need replacing. So you rarely, 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 rarely need to replace the mop handle. And this is one of those cheap plastic ones where the grooves that he screwed the mop onto get damaged. I suppose there's that. I've bent two or three plastic mop handles in my time, to be fair. So there is that. But it's a bit like when they tell you someone is having a head transplant. They're not having a head transplant. They keep their head. They're getting a new body from the neck down and keeping their old head. They're not getting a new head transferred onto their own body. No. If you're getting a new head transformed onto your body, you're the donor. Your head is being given away to someone who needs a head transplant. You're dead. Some relatives might want to put you on display for the funeral, so they'll get a head from somewhere else, presumably. Hopefully there's some legal way of doing it. The undertakers aren't just taking a head from somewhere else and not telling anyone. I presume there's some way. Maybe a rejected donor head that wasn't suitable for being transferred onto a live person. But then whoever donates that rejected head, it needs their own head as well for their funeral. I suppose somewhere down along the property ladder of head donation, there has to be someone who's getting cremated and doesn't care whether they keep their head. I suppose there is that. Is there that? I think there is that. There is that, so there is that. So there's that. Anyway, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. Yourself is looking back at you, even though that's not a separate person at all. It's all just appearances. You're there. You're in one place. There isn't two of you. There isn't another of you looking out at you. But in a way, there is. You're looking at yourself. You're also playing the part of your reflection. It's almost like you're acting. When you're looking in the mirror, that reflection is being put there by you. You're the puppet master of this whole thing. It is really like you got a glove puppet and you put it on and you hold the glove puppet up behind the glass somewhere so it can see you out, and you're looking at the glove puppet and you're thinking, oh, I look handsome. Don't I look handsome, puppet? And then you try and throw your voice so the glove puppet can appear to be speaking, and the glove puppet says, so you look nice, don't you, glove puppet? And that kills the illusion, because the glove popper is calling you a glove popper. And I think, oh Christ, that's just me, isn't it? That's just me, just a fucking glove popper in the mirror, in the magical make-believe world behind the mirror that just may as well be Oh, it may as well be on some weird Star Trek spin-off where they go into one of those parallel universes that's a mirror universe. You look in the mirror and they just see you looking back. And then the you that's in the mirror is looking at you thinking, oh Christ, look at that. Look at that. Jesus Christ. That's what you in the mirror is thinking. And then you go over a few steps to your left and your reflection takes a few steps as well. And then there's a wall between you. You're thinking, my reflection is behind that wall there. And we all know it's not really. It's not really behind the wall at all. Where is it though? Where does it go? We know where you've gone. You've gone over there to the left a bit. Where has your reflection gone? Has it just ceased to exist? Because that's a bit shit. If someone were to look at you that mirror from the far end, from the right side, you've stepped off to the left. If someone else had stepped off to the right and was looking in their mirror, could they still see your reflection? Possibly. That's a weird thing with mirrors that you can do. Mirrors are weird that way. They're not to be trusted. Now, if you have a hand mirror, that's even weirder. You have this hand mirror, you hold it up to your face, you see your reflection in the mirror, and then you put the mirror down in your lap for a minute, face up. And then you look into the mirror there and you find you're still looking up at yourself from between your legs. You find caves paintings where there's a torso, but the face is where the chest should be. There's a face on the chest and no head. And they wonder, are they painting gods or something? Is that what gods look like? They have a built-in face in their chest. Or are they just like three-year-olds who haven't yet figured out where their face is in relation to everything else? Because I remember as a child thinking, wait, are my eyes above my nose or below my nose? Or where does that go? So I'm sure Neanderthal man, when they were doing cave paintings, they didn't have mirrors. The closer they get to having a mirror would be looking at themselves in a body of water. You'd look down at a pool and you'd see yourself looking back. You'd have to memorize what you saw in the reflection before you go into the cave and then draw it from memory. Did they even have memory in those days? I don't know. There's going to be some talk on the program today about living in a tree house. At least I think there is. I think it comes up at some point, does it? Or did I scrub that segment? I'm not sure. Did that segment not work out? There was some mention at some point anyway that may or may not end up on this episode of living in a tree house where that falls on the property ladder. I wonder if you're living in a tree house listening to this, are you stealing internet from somewhere? Or are you, I don't know, are you in someone else's back garden living in a tree? Maybe you're renting it. Would you hook that up to the electricity and phone line? I don't know. The Wi-Fi certainly wouldn't extend out that far. If the tree house is down the bottom of the garden, you can't expect Wi-Fi to come out that far. That's not reasonable. I can't get Wi-Fi in my garden shed. Now, you might think, why would you want Wi-Fi in your garden shed? Well, it's for my washing machine. I'm vision impaired. My washing machine would be easier to use. Well, for one thing, if it was working, it's not working at the moment, but it would also be easier to use if I could connect it to the Wi-Fi, as there is an app for it. But no, I can't pick up Wi-Fi out there. It's too far away. I could probably do something about that if I set my mind to it. We'll see. So no, there's good reason to have internet in your back garden establishment, your outhouses and things. Does a treehouse count as an outhouse? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you even call it a structure if it's on a tree. Because a tree grows and moves, changes shape. That's not going to last forever, that treehouse. It's like building your house on a volcano or on a cliff edge during an era of coastal erosion. No, you see these houses sometimes on the cliff edge, the cliff eroding over time and the house gets closer and closer to the cliff edge until eventually they have to abandon it. You wouldn't be able to get that insured. You'd be able to get whatever the opposite of insurance is. I suppose the reverse mortgage of the house insurance world. What would that look like? I don't know. What will your house look like? It won't be like the great lost city of Atlantis or anything. No, because it will crumble before it even hits the water. You won't have this house under the sea. Sometimes they get a big valley somewhere and they filled it with water to turn it into a reservoir. And you have an abandoned village at the bottom, like a ghost village. It's underwater. There's something a bit gross about it, I find. They form these reservoirs by filling up a valley. They find a suitable valley that doesn't have many people living in it. They evacuate everyone, so there's maybe one or two houses at the bottom of the reservoir. They fill that up with water. It's any water you're drinking from that reservoir, it's like drinking something from a cup that has a dead fly in it. You wouldn't do that. You're drinking water from this reservoir that has someone's old house at the bottom of it. That house has a toilet in it and a bathroom and possibly pets buried in the back garden. People's filth and dirt and muck. Maybe they clean the house before they flood it. I don't know. I suppose much you don't know doesn't bother you. Might silently kill you, but if it doesn't, then you'll never know unless you think too much like I do. Do you think too much? You probably do. You're thinking about the reservoir thing now, I'm sure. You're thinking, oh Christ, I'll never talk about this. Your water doesn't come from some perfect giant glass jug that's kept in the mountains somewhere. No, it comes from a reservoir, and the reservoir is not some clean tank that they have somewhere. It's a big fucking piece of a valley that they just filled up with rainwater and they allowed it to flood. They've got as much cow shit at the bottom of it as any other piece of land. Any valley you can think of as dead sparrows. People pissed into that valley. They go for a Sunday drive up the mountains and they say, oh look, there's that reservoir. I'll piss over the cliff into that reservoir. Reservoirs are disgusting. They really are. They're the most disgusting things on the planet. So fuck reservoirs is what I'm saying.
Into your head.
If you're listening to this while having your hair cut and washed and blown dry by a third party, presumably a barber or a hairdresser or professional of some kind, or perhaps a family member who does your hair for you, you're very fancy, I'll say. You have servants to cut your hair for you. You pay people to cut your hair. You probably pay them to cut your lawn as well, do you? And clean up the leaves off your front path. Do you ever do anything for yourself? Do you have a chef as well? You probably have a chef as well. And a gardener. And someone to do your shopping for you. And someone to unpack your shopping for you. And someone to cook your shopping for you. And someone to freeze your shopping for you and split it into portion sizes and then put it in the freezer labelled in bags for each day of the week ahead. You probably have someone to unfreeze them then and microwave them for you when you get home from work. Oh, you have all sorts of servants. You pay someone to wash your hair and cut it, do you? That's great. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever heard of a mirror? As I have. I cut my hair all the time. With a trimmers, a strimmers, a razor, a shaver, whatever it is, I have a magical device that I run along my head and it removes the hair. You just go along, you go up and down and up and down and up and down until all the hair is gone and you have a full perfect haircut. I do that every few weeks and I don't need a third party to do it for me. I don't even need a mirror. In fact, I couldn't use a mirror even if I had one there to use. I can't see myself in the mirror. So I just sit there with a towel on me. I wet my hair a bit and then I shave it. I do a better job on my hair than any barber or hairdresser I've ever been to who cut my hair. Any barber or hairdresser I've ever been to. Any time I've left, there's been hair left on my head. They've only got about a third of it off. Now, in fairness, I didn't tell them to shave my head. Why would you pay someone to shave your head? That's nonsense. Are you that pathetic? Because you can't shave your own head. Can you go to a barber every 2 days to get your face shaved? Cut your own hair. You're not the king of something or other. Even if you were the king of somewhere or other, you'd just be a figurehead. You're getting ideas above your station now. You see people on television going to get a haircut and paying someone. And then tipping them as well, saying, oh, you did a great job at removing the hair from the top of my head. Here's a little something extra for you. That's ridiculous. No, you have hands. You have access to a shaver. They're not hard to get your hands on. You put a tiny bit of oil into the blades. You wet your hair and then you shave it off and then done. Done. Now you do need to have a thorough shower and change of clothes after that. Otherwise you're going to be rather itchy, but still. Stop with this shit. But you have to have servants doing things to your body. Why would you want that? You probably go and get your nails cut somewhere as well, do you? I cut my own nails even though I can't see the fucking things. And you're going off to some chiropodist or manicurist or pedicurist, whatever they're called. Wait, is it manicure? I don't know, whatever it is. It's manicure. Oh, is manicure the hands or something? There's probably someone who does stuff to the palm of your hands as well. You get some pampering done on the palms of your hands before you go to your palm reader. You don't want to turn up with sweaty palms. That's one reason I wouldn't go to a palm reader. First thing they're going to see when they go to read your palms is, here's some money. Please tell me everything you can learn from looking at the palms of my hands. And the first thing they'll say is that you sweat a lot. And you won't be able to argue with that. I know they'll be doing what these people do. They state the obvious and they're supposed to impress you. And it may not be very impressive, but it'll be true and you'll be mortified. You think, oh Christ, this person here, first thing they know about me is that I sweat a lot, and I can't argue with that. They're right, I do sweat a lot. They're literally holding my hand here and they can feel the sweat running out from between the lines in my hand, the cracks in my hand. No, it's like the sap leaking out through the bark of a tree. Why does it do that? I don't know. Where does the sap come out of a tree? I don't know. Does there have to be holes in it? Does it normally come out at all? Is it usually kept intact? Unless the tree undergoes some sort of trauma. I don't know. Is there sap inside the tree? Isn't it liquidy stuff that's inside the veins of the tree that's like blood, and then you pierce the bark of the tree, the sap leaks out? Is that how it works? I don't know. That's very like sweat, if that's the case. So it's not really like blood then. So did they have something else in the tree that's the equivalent of blood? You don't have sweat running around in veins in your body, do you? I don't think so. I think it's just manufactured on site. It's brewed at the site of your sweat pores when needed. They create some sweat there and pour it out. There isn't water pipes going around all over your body, surely, is there? Well, wait a minute, is there? I know we have blood vessels that distribute blood to every part of our body. Surely we don't also have water vessels. That seems a bit much. Or does it? I don't know. I know we use water for everything, but does it just distribute the water everywhere? Go, here's your blood, hands, and here's your water. I don't know how it works. Suffice to say, cut your own hair, it's fine. You don't even need a mirror. You don't need to see what your head looks like. You know what your head looks like. You've been looking at it for half a century. You can feel it with your hands. Just run the shaver along and then shave your head and then go and wash yourself and then get on with your day and don't go paying anyone to do that to you. No, why would you want to pay someone to touch you? I cannot imagine. I've never understood this desire to go to these places every few weeks where you sit there in the waiting room. You read a magazine and then someone calls you up and you sit in a chair and they either do stuff to your hair or they do stuff to your fingernails or they operate on you, do plastic surgery. Cosmetic plastic surgery. You go queue in a plastic surgery waiting room and then you're called. It's your turn to come up and sit in the chair and they say, ah, hello, what would you like me to do to you today? And you say, I'd like a bit off the top, please. Oh, you want your face tucked in or something. And you say, no, what do you call it? Will you trim a bit off the top of my head? And they'll say, oh, you're talking about a haircut. Oh, that's next door. You'll find those quite significantly cheaper than here, though, so you'll enjoy that. And you'll say, no, I want a bit off the top. I want my head reduced. My head is too big. I look like Conan O'Brien on that late night talk show in America. He's a huge, 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 huge head. Absolutely massive. Absolutely fucking massive. And he goes around telling people, yes, I've got a big Irish head, as if that's a thing that comes from this country. Is it not? People don't have particularly big heads here. They do that. That's nonsense. don't fall for that. When these Irish Americans go around telling you Americans the heavy bad chase they have is from the home country, it's not. Nobody here has red hair. Nobody here has a big head. There's no such product as Irish Spring that we have in our bathrooms. That's not an Irish thing. Nobody over here has even heard of that. No, none of those things. You don't have places over here that are called Great Old Irish Pub. No, that's not a thing. Nobody over here even drinks alcohol. It's illegal. It's illegal to drink alcohol here. It's against the law. We don't break the law over here. We're law-abiding citizens. Now, don't fall for this shit, where they tell you, no, Irish people, their heads are very, 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 very large. They're so large, they're like one of those Mr. Men cartoons. The men who are just a head and no torso, and you have legs and arms coming out of the side of their heads. They're like Mr. Potato Head. Mr. Potato Head is an American invention, isn't it? I think so. Isn't it based on your man in the sitcom Cheers? He looks a bit like a potato. The mailman, maybe it's not, I don't know. Now that I think about it, Mr. Potato Head was probably being around longer than Cheers. Was it a children's cartoon or something? Or a board game? There was some sort of game that involved a potato head. Or was it in Toy Story? Was there a potato head fella in Toy Story? Maybe there was. Maybe your man who played the potato head fella in Cheers did one of the voices in Toy Story, and that's confused me. I suppose that's possible. There's a new Toy Story out now, Toy Story 5. They were all killed off in the previous episode. It's like the search for Spock. Star Trek 2 or 3 was the search for Spock. Spock had been killed off, and they decided, we're going to go looking for Spock now. He's not dead. He's just, we have to go get him. I presume it's the same with Toy Story. One of them died in the previous installment 12 years ago. Now, you might think, that's nonsense. They wouldn't kill off one of the characters in a children's franchise like that. We have to remember, Toy Story has been going for over 20 years now. So the kids who are watching that, who watched the first one and were enthralled by it, they've grown up with Toy Story now, so they're ready for mature stories. It's just like the Harry Potter franchise. The last three movies in the Harry Potter franchise, they're all almost grown up. They're getting very grown up. Harry Potter at one point is depicted getting himself temporarily killed and going into the afterlife and meeting your man, the dead school principal. Potter is dead for a while in one of the last movies, and he goes in and sees the headmaster in the afterlife in a kind of white space, and the dead principal goes, Harry, you brave, brave boy, as if this is something to be encouraged. They're doing that because they know the children who watched the first couple of movies are all in their 40s now, so it's okay to turn it into an adult thing. So I presume it's the same with Toy Story. The children who watch Toy Story movies, they're about 50 now. So it's fine to show them mature stuff. It's a pity they couldn't have done the same with Sesame Street.